Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for the vacationing Cy Kellett. With me in studio today, the esteemed chaplain of Catholic Answers, Father Hugh Barber. Oh, pray him. Right?
That's right. Yeah,
very good. I'm going to go straight to it, Father, with today's show. Today is Fun Friday, as Cy would call it, or he'd have something even more Freaky Friday, or... It's kids questions only. In order to call in with your question today about the Catholic faith or anything else you want to ask Father Hugh Barber, or as he says during this hour, Father Goose.
Father Goose, that's right. Right. I have my little mirror up.
Right.
I see Jackie and Johnny and Sally, and that's too old for you people.
So kids questions only, and I think to be a kid, if you have a driver's license, you probably don't qualify as a kid.
I suppose. But in California, probably you can get a driver's license at any age as long as you – oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. So kids questions only. So parents, gather your young ones around you. Put the phone in their hand. Any kid who gets on the air today with a question will receive a free copy of our two graphic novels, The Truth Is Out There and The Big Picture. So those are both available to anyone who calls in today. So kids listening, young juveniles, churins. What do you call them?
Children who
are listening. Call today with your questions about perhaps you are preparing for your first communion and you have a question for Father. Maybe you're preparing to make your first confession, we hope, before you make your first communion. Right, Father?
Yes, that's the normal,
Good.
The normal order.
Maybe making this first confession is causing you some anxiety. You're a little bit nervous about that. So questions about that. Maybe you have a question about your guardian angel. Maybe you have a question about dinosaurs. Right, Father?
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm all there.
Superheroes,
fine.
Marvel Comics.
I'm not an expert, so you may have to tell me.
The hypostatic union. Maybe you have a question about the hypostatic union.
Absolutely.
These
are homeschoolers, so believe me.
All right.
They might know something.
No, extra points if homeschoolers call in. So I mentioned guardian angels at the top of the my list there because I know, Father, having known you now we've been dear friends for almost 20 years.
Yeah. 20 years,
one,
precisely.
1998. Of the many things that I have learned from you and try to emulate but not nearly as well as I should is a devotion to my guardian angel. But I know this is very dear to you.
It is, but my guardian angel is standing by laughing at the same time.
Well, you know, Father, every morning when you preach here at Catholic Answers, I ask my guardian angel to help you with – can I do that? Is that okay?
That's probably why I manage to get to the homily.
I always say, hey, please help Father Hugh. We all need that help.
We need it. Definitely we need it. Oh, are you kidding?
Occasionally I ask my guardian angel to talk to Jackie's guardian angel.
That is your beloved wife.
Yes, right.
Who's far brighter and more intelligent than you are.
Of course.
But still, it's good to ask the angels to help in any case.
So for those of us who, are trying to cultivate a devotion to our guardian angels, what counsel do you have?
I would say keep in mind that he is always with you and will never abandon you and will accommodate everything that he does to your particular needs at the moment. So just don't forget him. And if you forget him, then and you bring him to mind later, just pray to him and ask for his help because he's never gone away.
Guardian angels are kind of difficult for us to get our imaginations around. We have pictures of them. We have images, famous artwork. Often they're depicted with wings, of course. Right?
Well, imagination is actually the word because they are they are completely spiritual beings, so they don't have really apply to our imagination, but we can use certain aspects of it. But let's just say they are very powerful. They're very precise. They help us. They enlighten us. So I would say ask your guardian angel to illuminate whatever little bits and pieces of knowledge you have in your brain. They'll help you out with that.
This is a this is an extraordinary thing just to contemplate that God has given to each one of us, and there's a tradition, right, that maybe priests have more than one. Have you heard that, Father?
Oh, that's St. Francis Sales. He says that once you're ordained, you get an extra angel.
Oh, that's good.
After your ordination, right. But that's fine. But let's just say from birth, we all have an angel.
And this is a special gift that God has made to us in the form of this extraordinarily powerful intellect. It's an amazing thing.
And will. Yep. And will. Power to choose. The angels are very, very intent on what they want.
And if we thought about it, is this fair for me to say, Father? If we thought about it, would we, and we were to reflect on our lives and reflect on moments in our lives, we would probably, and then, of course, these things will be revealed to us, I hope, on the other side of the veil, but all kinds of occasions where our guardian angel has stepped in on our behalf. I'm just imagining it's many more times a day than we can even think.
I would say that it's probably so many more times than we imagine that when we finally see the whole picture of our earthly life, we'll say, well, this looks like the story of my guardian angel more than my story.
Yes. Huh.
Because they're greater and more wonderful and more loving than we are, actually. And so
the tradition goes that Padre Pio had a great devotion to his guardian angel, and in fact would sort of remonstrate, if that's the word, with his, you know, you have to do this for me. Yeah, you need to step up. So maybe we can't be as, you know, direct
bold as he was. But let's just say you cannot underestimate your guardian angel. Don't do that.
And so all you good young people listening and all you good old people listening and good people in between, let's get that devotion. Let's turn to our guardian angels. And Father, of course, everyone knows that guardian angel prayer, but then maybe just one little more piece of advice about how to strengthen that relationship between us and our guardian angels.
I would say it needs to be on the level of our understanding. That is, when we have a hard time understanding something, to ask for the help we need. And sometimes we try to figure things out on our own judgments or particular decisions or whatever, but just ask for understanding. And they're really good at that.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We are taking calls only today from kids with questions for Father Hugh. Any kid who gets on the air today gets a free copy of our two graphic novels. We're going to go to Grace in Ohio, who's 13 years old, listening on Sirius XM. Grace, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you.
Hey, Grace.
Grace, what's your question for Father Hugh?
What is your favorite saint?
Well, apart from you, Grace, I would say it may be somebody else. Let's just say, and you have a beautiful name. Your parents must love you very much because that is a great name. That's just like the wonderful name. But I would say, you know, you can have favorite saints that change according to different periods of your life. And most lately, I mean, I could give you a different number of saints that I've venerated over the course of the years, and I still do. But lately, I've been praying to a lot Blessed Solanus Casey, who is a Franciscan friar who was beatified by the Holy Father just in last November. He's an American saint from Detroit, and was a great servant of all those who came to him in need of counsel and consolation. And he had a great devotion to the Holy Mass, and I go to him a lot. He tells us that if we thank God beforehand for his gifts to us, we will receive many abundant gifts. So I would say St. Solanus Casey is my favorite right now, but after that, I'm sure it'll be St. Grace.
Grace, do you have a favorite saint?
Bernadette. Yes.
Who, tell me who it is.
Who is it? Oh, St. Bernadette.
St. Bernadette. Well, she's similar to St. Silanus in that she was not a kind of prissy, high-class saint. She didn't have much instruction, but she had a lot of faith. And
came from a hard-working family.
Right, a spirit of prayer. And so they're very, very similar in that regard. But Bernadette is something else. You have to I agree with you. She's a wonderful saint.
Have you seen that movie with Jennifer Jones, Grace, right, The Song of Bernadette?
No.
Well, that's one to add to your list. And Vincent Price, it's a very fine film.
Yeah, just ask your parents to show it to you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, she's 13. It's a perfectly good film for a 13-year-old.
Of course, right, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Grace, and you know, Solanus Casey's not very far away from you. You're in Ohio, and of course, he was in Michigan, right, Father?
Right, in Detroit, yeah. His relics are in Detroit.
Not so far away. Grace, thank you very much for calling the program. We're going to get back to questions in a minute. Father, coming up at the end of September is Catholic Answers next international conference.
Absolutely.
And you will be there.
I will be there.
You are preaching the sermon, the homily.
On Sunday.
At the Mass, which will be offered by our special guest of honor, Cardinal Burke.
Right.
The topic is faith and science. All of the Catholic Answers apologists will be there. Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn. I'll be speaking on Galileo. But we're also very fortunate to have Stacy Trisankos, who is a scientist.
Wonderful.
And Father Terrence Ehrman, who was on the show just the other day, speaking. And so a lot of people believe that somehow religion and the discoveries of the laboratory or the observatory are somehow in conflict. They are not. And we're going to equip everyone to be able to answer those questions when the atheists come to them and say, or the unbelievers, or whoever the scientists, and say, what the things that the church believes don't really stand the scrutiny of the microscope.
Yeah, excellent.
So CatholicAnswersConference.com, CatholicAnswersConference.com. There's just a few rooms left in our room block at the hotel, the Hyatt Regency La Jolla. It's 97% sold out. And then one other thing, Father, Jimmy Akin will be calling square dancing.
Square dancing, exactly.
So,
Alleman right with the old left hand. It's all right there.
That's right.
All right.
Very good. All right. Catholic
Sing
Answers.
Your partner, do-si-do.
CatholicAnswersConference.com. We're going to take a short break and be back with more kids' questions.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The Church has 2,000 years of wisdom to share on what it takes to live life gracefully.
We're so overwhelmed by how much our faith has transformed our marriage and family especially. We want everyone to experience the incredible gift that the Catholic vision of life and love really is.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Pope Francis said, all of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clear witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Christopher Check sitting in for your regular host, Cy Kellett, who is vacationing with his son in Las Vegas, Father.
Oh, my goodness. No, this must be a Catholic show. Otherwise, we wouldn't even admit that.
Don't look scandalized. They did not go to play the roulette table. Apparently, there's something called the Summer Basketball League where the rookies of the various NBA teams meet in Las Vegas and they compete with each other. And since Cy is a big Celtics fan, he went to watch the Celtics play some other team.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
if they play a little roulette, it won't be the end of the world.
No, but they also I hope he shares his winnings with Catholic Answers. Then it would be okay, right?
Yeah, it's all okay.
and they also went skateboarding. Apparently.
Oh, wow.
Some of the finest.
But the heat. Oh, my.
Well, you have to go late at night or early in the morning or something. Yeah. But some of the finest skateboard parks in all of creation are in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I've been very attentive to that my entire life, of course.
No. Well, maybe some of our children who are listening are skateboarders.
Absolutely.
Let's go to, we're doing kids' questions today, 888-318-7884. Only questions from kids for Father Hugh Barber. We're going to go to Luke in Pensacola, Florida, age 9, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Luke, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
My question is, yes, go on.
Yeah, go ahead. Luke, I'm listening.
Yep.
No problem.
Go right ahead. You know what I like about the kids, Father, is they go right to the, my question
right, of
is.
Of course, right.
There's no introduction. All right, go for it, Luke. I'm sorry.
How do we know that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, and why are there no more Eucharistical miracles anymore?
Well, let's see. How do we know he's present in the Eucharist? Well, we know the same way that the apostles knew at the first Eucharist in the upper room, because Jesus is there telling us, this is my body and this is my blood. That is, we believe because we believe in him. And Jesus is the one who validates our belief. It's not magic. It's not a trick. It's not something which somebody can show to us. It has to do with our trust in him. That is, we know him, and as you, Luke, know, you know that Jesus loves you with all his heart and would have died for you, even if you're the only person in the whole world. And so you believe in his promise to you about the Eucharist just because he's Jesus, that's all. He's the Savior, and you trust in him and his words to you. And then as far as miracles occurring, there are Eucharistic miracles occurring all the time. We live in a culture where the media, they cover what they want to cover. They cover all kinds of sick, freaky things. All you have to do, and I don't recommend it to you, but I mean, if you look on the internet and you're following the news, they cover all kinds of awful stuff. But the things that happen between the Lord and souls are not part of the news as the world presents it. So if you don't have any news of miracles happening, it doesn't mean that they're not happening. They may well be happening, and even in your own life. And Luke, since you love Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, you don't have to worry about anything. You just stay close to him, and your life will move along just the way it's supposed to do. Miracles or no miracles.
Luke, you're 9 years old, so you've made your first communion, I'm sure?
Yes.
Good. And so we want you to receive our Lord daily, even if you can, in the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
All right, Luke?
Okay, yes,
How's
sir.
That, Luke? God bless you.
All right. And by the way, you have a great and courageous and wise patron there.
Yeah, wonderful. St. Luke, what a great patron.
Yeah, very
it's
good.
Great stuff. Good.
Thank
God bless you.
All right.
God
be,
bless
good,
you,
be good Peace. To your parents, Luke. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Christian, age 11, calling from Irving, Texas, the great Lone Star State, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Christian, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Hello, Christian.
Hi.
Hey,
Hi, Christian, how are you?
Very good. What about you?
We're doing well. We're happy to have you on the program. It's a little warmer there in Texas, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty hot, actually.
Yeah, it's been hot around here, too.
And, of course, Irving used to be home of the Dallas Cowboys before Arlington stole them away, right?
Yeah, but I'm not a Cowboys fan.
That's good. The Packers are a much better team.
No, actually, the Giants are.
Oh, the Giants.
Okay, there you go. See, I'm not going to get into this particular fight.
That's all right, Father.
So,
well, Christian, that's okay. We let Giants fans ask questions on Catholic Answers Live. What's your question for Father Hugh?
Yeah, so my question is, who wrote the book of Genesis?
Great question.
Great question. It's an interesting question. The tradition of the church is, from the fathers, that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And our Lord even says, Moses wrote of me, and he was talking about things that were in the book of Genesis. But there are modern scholars, and the church does not prohibit them, who say, well, maybe Moses had something to do with the beginning of the discussion, but then other people added their considerations and texts, and gradually the document developed over time, with the original part from Moses and then other things added by others. So let's just say the most prudent or reasonable decision would be that Moses wrote it, because our Lord said he did, but that other people contributed or edited or redacted the text in view of future time. That would be the classical answer for this particular question. And I'm glad you're asking, because, of course, the book of Genesis has so many important things in it that determine how we view the world and what's in it. So I'm very happy that you asked this question. So is that okay, Christian?
Yes, thank you.
Good.
Thank you. God bless you.
Christian, I'm going to just ask Father a little follow-up here about your question. Is that okay, Father? Can I ask
Absolutely.
A follow-up?
Absolutely. You can ask anything you want.
So,
Christian can ask. He's 11. He's in Irving. You can ask anything you want.
That's right. So, Father, now when you say Moses wrote the book of Genesis, would you say that like Homer wrote the Odyssey, that this is part of the oral tradition, or that at some time in Moses' life, maybe
right, exactly.
this was set down in writing?
You're right.
Am I asking a fair question?
It's a fair question in the sense that wrote, what do you mean by wrote?
Well, right.
Well, there's an oral tradition which is carried on. And if you were in like modern, like even now, Montenegro today, or certain parts of the Macedonian countryside, you would find
the
storytellers.
The Guslars.
Right, who could actually recite to you lines and lines and lines and lines of local poetry that were exact and passed on from age to age. So I take wrote Christian in a broader sense. That is that there's a source which is there, which then is later on ordered or redacted or added to by other authors. But it doesn't mean that Moses actually sat down and put pen to I won't say paper, but to
papyrus.
To papyrus, right, whatever. Right. So in any case, and he might have been writing in hieroglyphics, so you never know.
But anyway. Christian, Father Hugh makes a very important point about the practice that once existed and still does in some parts of the world, like in the Balkans with the storytellers, the Guslars, of memorizing long passages of a people's history.
Right, and all these cultures had that tradition, that oral tradition that was passed on.
And the Jews preserved much of their scriptures in Babylon through that during the Babylonian captivity through that oral tradition.
And they learned writing from that particular tradition.
So Christian and all you good children listening, you need to work on the skill of memorizing, right? Because that's kind of a lost art now, Father. We don't see a lot of memorizing.
We don't see it that much, so.
We see it a lot among homeschoolers and in some parochial schools, but not so much.
Yeah, it's true.
They should all start with...
Learn a poem.
Chesterton's Lepanto.
Perhaps.
Do you know that one, Christian?
No.
All right. Well, you look that one up. You're going to love it. I promise you.
Oh, okay.
All right. God bless you, Christian.
All right. God bless you, Christian. Go Giants. All right, I think we can get in one more here before the break. Let's go to Trinity 14 in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Trinity, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello?
Hi,
hey there.
Trinity. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing
great,
well.
Great, yeah.
We're doing well.
This is so cool. I'm so excited.
We're very happy to have you.
Okay. I have a really weird question.
No, it's not that weird.
There are no weird questions.
No weird questions at all.
This one's pretty weird. Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons?
Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Well, let's just say Adam and Eve were the most beautiful human beings that ever existed before Jesus and Mary. So Adam and Eve were lovely. And if you think that a belly button adds to the beauty of human nature, then I would say go ahead and say they had belly buttons. I tell you that in Christian art, normally they're depicted with belly buttons, okay? But it doesn't mean that they had to have them. If you're going to be – this is a question that comes from like the Baptist with a D tradition, where since they were created directly from the earth and they didn't have a –
There would have been no umbilical cord.
Right,
but
mean, the point is that God would have made it all very nice. And I'm just saying it's it's not a question of great worry, because it doesn't disprove our point that God made them from the dust of the earth to be his marvelous images. And that's the point we really should be thinking about, that Adam and Eve were made to be the image of God in the world.
How's that, Trinity?
That's great. I had a class and we asked that, so I...
Yeah, if you like your belly button, then keep it. And Eve can keep hers too, okay?
So when we get our glorified bodies in heaven, Father, are we...
Jesus has a belly button for sure.
Okay.
All right, we see it on the cross, we see the resurrection. He has everything we have.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We are only taking calls from kids. Kids questions. Every kid who gets on gets a free copy of the Catholic Answers graphic novel. Back after this break.
Are faith and science compatible? Are they friends or foes? Catholic Answers Magazine is tackling that question and others with our very special Faith and Science issue, delving deep into what is arguably one of the most debated topics of our day. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take an in-depth look at the Catholic view of evolution with Dr. Stacy Trisenkos. We'll review the most common misconceptions about how faith and science stand in opposition with Dr. Chris Kazor. And apologist Trent Horn will refute the skeptic's claim that something can come from nothing, plus so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on one of the most important issues of our day. Call 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
With the 50th anniversary of the release of Humanae Vitae approaching, you can expect fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. We asked five distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humanae Vitae from five perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and co-workers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Monday, Monsignor Charles Pope.
Along with Luke Faulkner of Human Life Action. Join us for Morning Glory, Monday, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Christopher Check. Father, you're talking over me. Christopher Check sitting in for the vacation Cy Kellett, who will be back here in this seat behind this microphone on Monday. Thanks for your patience as I fill in with him. Coming up in our second hour, we have a very special guest who will be known to all of you. Patrick Coffin will be here to talk about Humanae Vitae and his revised and expanded book, The Contraception Deception, in our second hour. But now, in our first hour, we're doing something that is just absolutely delightful, Father.
It's fun.
And we are taking questions only from children, only from kids. And the number to get on the show with Father Hugh Barber, or as we call him during this hour, Father Goose, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Let's go to Shane in Ohio. Shane, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, Shane.
How are you, Shane?
Fine.
Shane, I have a question for you first. Have you seen that great Western with Alan Ladd called Shane? Have you seen that movie?
No.
That's a great Western. You might be a little young for it. You might want to check with your parents, but it's one of the great Westerns of all time. Anyway, but you have a more important question than Western movies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
How was God made?
How was God made?
How or why? Which one?
How.
How. Okay, how? That's an easier question than why. So I like that you asked how. How was God made? Because God is good. That is, if there's anything at all that is there, you know, in front of you or around you or above you or below you or wherever it is, it's because it's good. And God is the one who is the best of all. You might say the goodest of all, if I could use English in
goodest
a bad way.
Goodest is fine.
Goodest
in
is fine.
Southern California.
Right, it's okay. But the point there is that how was God made? Because God is supremely good. And goodness means giving good things to others. And so we all know, and you know, Shane, that in this world we are always getting good things from those who love us all the time. Your parents, your friends, and even you then want to give good things to the people around you by talking, by working, by playing, by doing whatever you do. So let's just say, how was God made? Because he's good. He's just very good, and he constantly gives good things to everybody else. So that's my simple answer. If you want more, I'll let you know.
But, Father, we don't want to leave Shane with this understanding of made, that he was...
No, I mean, obviously, right, exactly. God is not made in the sense that we're made. He's not dependent on any other being. No one else made God. God is the original maker, you know. That is, if there's anything good or holy or happy or powerful or intelligent or... generous or whatever it might be, it's because it came from him. So yeah, that's a good point that Chris points out, that God doesn't make himself because he doesn't need to make himself. He's just completely good, and so he just bestows or gives himself to others.
How's that, Shane? Does that help?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling Catholic Answers Live.
It's a deep question,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah, yeah, we have a philosopher on our hands there. Or future priest. Maybe you have a vocation, Shane.
Yeah. God bless you.
All right. We'll keep you in our prayers. Let's go to Catherine, 6 years old in North Dakota. Catherine, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Catherine.
How are you? Are you in Bismarck?
Good.
Are you in Bismarck?
What's Bismarck, Mom?
No, that's just a town in North Dakota.
It's a town in North
Dakota.
That's right. Okay, Catherine, what's your question for Father Hugh?
Why did God make the world?
What? Can you ask your question again, Catherine?
Why did God make the world?
Why did God make the world?
Oh, okay. Well, because he, you know, when you have something good, like if you had... A package of M&M's, okay? Do you know M&M's, Catherine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so.
So if you had some chocolate candy, would you just sit there and eat it all by yourself, or would you give it to people around you and share it with them?
I would share it with them.
God bless
right,
you,
exactly,
Catherine.
Exactly. So God, who is so good, so completely good, that he could not possibly just keep it all to himself, he would share it with somebody else. And so why did God make the world? Because he's so extra good that he gives his goodness to others. Just like if you have something good, you'd want to share it. You wouldn't want to keep it just to yourself. And that's why God made the world.
Does that make sense, Catherine? Good.
Good, okay. Well, God bless you, Catherine.
Well, wonderful question. Thank you for calling.
Share your M&Ms, okay?
Share. Let's go to Sarah, 12 years old, in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Sarah, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
My question is, at Pentecost, how come John, the Gospel of John, is different from the other Gospels when they describe how the Holy Spirit came upon them?
I think we have a budding apologist
well,
here,
we
Father.
We have different accounts because, of course, the Holy Spirit is one of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. And so the descent of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time event. It occurs, for example, when Our Lady conceives by the Holy Spirit. Our Lord in the upper room, and this is what you're referring to, he says, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. And then, of course, you have Acts, where the Holy Spirit descends after the ascension of our Lord into heaven. So there are various sendings of the Holy Spirit, which confirm and strengthen the hearts of the faithful. There doesn't have to be just one. And just like there, you know, for example, we receive our Lord every day in Holy Communion or by our prayer. We are constantly in relationship with him in such a way that you can't just say it's one or another event, but it's several events. And so the Gospels give us a witness which makes them more believable because God's Holy Spirit is sent out at various points in order to confirm the witness of the Father and the Son to their all-Holy Spirit. So that's the way it is. So,
how about that, Sarah? I detected a note of doubt there.
You're a little skeptic,
Sarah.
There,
a little bit
sir.
Of skepticism. We're okay with Father Hugh's answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me if you're not. Let me know.
It was just a lot of big words.
Okay. Exactly. Sorry. God bless you.
Father, we had a question on the show yesterday, Father, that relates to this. And it was a caller who was concerned that in the popular culture or in popular piety, that there seemed to be more devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary than to the Holy Spirit. And Jimmy fielded the question. He did a good job with it. But if you wanted to tell the young people listening here today how they could start to talk to the Holy Spirit, to pray to the Holy Spirit, and why they would, and why they would want to have this relationship.
I think that the devotion to the Holy Spirit, of course, the Church's liturgy itself, which is our teacher, doesn't often invoke the Holy Spirit directly.
Right.
It's very rare. It's like for Pentecost, you know, Veni Sancti Spirit, come Holy Spirit. There's not a lot of direct invocation of the Holy Spirit, and that's because the Spirit comes to us in his power and humility through the Son and the Father and also through each other. So I would say with your devotion to the Holy Spirit, invoke the Holy Spirit and ask for the things that are the most powerful and efficacious. My old confessor, who was a Passionist priest and his religious name was Charles of the Holy Spirit, he would tell me to say, Holy Spirit, please give me life. Holy Spirit, please give me love. So those L's there. Just ask the Holy Spirit to give you life, light, love from him, and just wait. And then what you will receive from the Holy Spirit will come in a more human form or more evident form for your human nature, that is through the Savior and his Blessed Mother and the saints. But the invocation of the Holy Spirit is a very powerful thing, and we should have confidence in it. But I would just say expect that the direction and the help you get will come mediated or directed through other human beings, whether they're divine human beings like the Savior or the Blessed Mother or those around you. So, Holy Spirit, please give me life. Holy Spirit, please give me love.
Let's go to Madison from Wichita, Kansas, 7 years old. Madison, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi.
Hi, Madison.
Hey, Madison.
I'm very excited.
Okay, what's your question, dear?
Where's the Garden of Eden, and does it still exist?
Well, the tradition of the fathers is that the Garden of Eden still exists. Now, of course, if you go to your religious education class in the parish, they might not back me up on this point, but I'm just telling you what the fathers of the church say, that it's still there, but it's invisible and inaccessible. That is, you can't get to it and you can't see it because God has hidden it from view since since our first parents were sent out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin. So, yes, in the tradition of the church, it still exists, and it might have in it, for example, Enoch and Elias and other holy personages who are awaiting the second coming of Christ. But that's a little complicated for you at the age of seven. But let's just say in the tradition of the church, yes, it still exists, but it's not something that we can find or discover. And so it might as well not exist as far as we're concerned. But there you are.
How's that, Madison? Does that help?
Yeah,
sure. God bless you. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
God bless. Peace.
Very good. Very good. Let's go to Joseph, 9 years old in Oregon. Joseph, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi.
What's your
question, Joseph? Hello, Joseph, 9.
My question is, for the second coming of Jesus, will we all go to heaven immediately or will we go one by one?
That's an interesting question, and there are various opinions about that in the tradition of the church. But let's say that St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that for those who are alive at the Lord's second coming, they will be, as St. Paul says in the First Thessalonians, they will be instantly and suddenly purified without dying. That's what he says. We don't really know for sure because that's up to him. But it seems to be that there will be a number of people who would have this experience all at once. And not one by one. But you can have whatever opinion you want about that. That is, it's not part of Catholic teaching or defined Catholic teaching or anything like that. So you can look into the question and consider it for the rest of your life, and you might find the answer. Maybe you'll live to the point where you won't need to look up at the answer. He'll have come again, and you'll be ready.
Joseph, do you live near Portland?
Yeah.
You do? Well, you have one of the finest bishops in all of the United States there, Archbishop Sample. He's a very dear friend of Catholic Answers, so please pray for him, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
God bless you, Joseph.
God bless you, Joseph. Father, we're going to take a short break. Before we do, I want to remind our listeners that we're running a special on Catholic Answers magazine right now. If you subscribe for 1 or 2 years, you also get the digital edition of the magazine for free, right? So Catholic Answers magazine, one of the few magazines that's still in print, that is on paper. But also the digital edition comes for free if you subscribe now. To do that, go to Catholic.com. You'll see Catholic Answers magazine in the banner there. Click on that. It's easy peasy.
Great.
And squeezy. Back in 60 seconds.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And I wanted to tell you guys how great your show is because I listen to you guys for every day for the last past 5.5 months. It's because of you guys that I came to the Catholic faith. Now I'm going to church on Sunday for the first time because I just got out yesterday from jail. And I got my mom to go too, and my girlfriend is also going with me. Wow. She's willing to give the Catholic faith a try.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
I am your guest host, Christopher Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett, who will be back on Monday. We're taking questions from kids only. Father, the hour is drawing to a close. Let's knock out as many of these as we can. I'd like to go to Crito in San Jose. Is it Crito or Crito? How do I pronounce that? Crito, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I am, I think I would be one of the unique callers of this show because I have just had an awakening to the Catholic Church. My family is Seventh-day Adventist, but I went to a Catholic school, and only this year I had a conversion that brought me into the Catholic Church. This fall, I will be attending RCIA classes, and I would like some guidance from that. Also, not only that, I would like some guidance on my vocation to the priesthood, because that is one of the key things that brought me into the Catholic Church, as well as the saints, and a good mindset on all the doctrines. Please, may I have some guidance from Father Hugh.
Okay, Father.
Okay, and I want to make sure I get your name right. So it's Crito or Crito?
Crito.
Crito, Crito, Crito. Okay, good, okay. So it's neither. That's good. Now, I just want to make sure that I'm calling you correctly. I would say the first thing is, if you're going to enter the Catholic Church, and of course you need the permission of your parents to do that, since you're 13. So your parents agree?
Yes, they agree.
Okay, good. All right, so your parents agree. Okay, so that's good. And then secondly, for entering the Church, we first focus on entering the Church and receiving the sacraments of initiation, so baptism, confirmation, Holy Communion. And then we focus on a vocation to the social sacraments, that is, of marriage or the priesthood. So first, I would say right now, our Lord is not asking you to consider a priestly vocation just in the next few months when you're preparing to receive the sacraments of initiation. So I would focus on your union with Christ in those sacraments, trusting him that if he has a further grace to give you or something else, that he will show you that in the meantime. But I wouldn't package it all together. You know, that is, you entered the Church with a grateful heart, receiving the grace of baptism and confirmation, Holy Communion, and then later the Lord could give you the further grace of a vocation to the priesthood. And those things are not incompatible. But I would say, let's just focus now on those sacraments. And then when you have entered the Church and you have a certain stability or practice of the faith, then you can consider the question of a priestly vocation, which is not out of the question by any means, but let's just say do one thing at a time, you know. And I think that will help you a little bit spiritually if you do that. I know you're eager and want to figure it all out from the beginning, but let's just say if you trust our Lord and his Blessed Mother and the saints, as you mentioned that you do, you will find all the help you need. But let's just focus, first of all, in the great, really wonderful gifts the Lord is going to be giving you in your entry to the Catholic Church, and be grateful, too, that you have parents who are not opposing it, but are rather allowing you to continue along this way.
Crito, please know that as you make this journey, we will be keeping you in our prayers.
Absolutely. Praise and you'll make a good priest, but just first be baptized and confirmed and receive communion, and then consider all of that.
Very good. How's that for some counsel?
Yes, I understand, and I think that God has been waiting for me to hear this. So thank you.
All sure. Right. God bless you.
God
peace.
God bless you.
Yeah.
All right, Father, a couple more calls here. Let's go to Jesse, age 12, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Jesse, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi.
Hello, Jesse.
How are you?
We're doing
just
well.
Great,
what's
great.
Your question for Father Yu?
I was wondering, like, why all the traditions form. Like, when Jesus went back to heaven, did all his friends start doing them?
Where do the traditions of the Church come from, Father?
Well, you kind of look at your own family and you say, well, why do we eat dinner the way we eat dinner? Why do we talk the way we talk? Why do we dress the way we dress? That is, if you mean traditions with a small t, like not the essential ones, but just the ones that we go by, the Catholic Church, the church formed by Jesus, is also, it's a divine thing, and it's guaranteed to last till the end of the world, and it's there for our salvation. On the other hand, it's also, like our families, a human thing, and it has lots of practices that are based upon our customary ways of behaving and development of things over time. So this is something that a lot of non-Catholic Christians will make a big deal of. They'll act like we have some kind of strange practice. But I would say, well, when did Jesus wear a three-piece polyester suit? When did he stand at a pulpit with a big Bible and bang it? When did he comb his hair back and do all the stuff that Protestant evangelists do? So our traditions are like theirs. We just have a certain family life that has practices of devotion and liturgy that are based upon our common practice. So and that's normal. You know, that's like why you put the fork on the left hand of the plate and the knife and the spoon on the right hand of the plate. There's not a deep reason for that, but a reasonable person would say, yeah, let's just do that because that's what we've always done.
It's central to human experience.
Right. We're normalists. Like, why, if we're starting to play a baseball game and you started quibbling about all the rules, like, why do we have to do this? You would not have a game.
Right.
And in our religion also, which is a human thing, we have certain practices which, you know, they are what they are. But I would just say they formed as soon as God became a man. Jesus became a man, and then as soon as he took our human nature, certain traditions could be formed. And some of them are really, really important and necessary, and others are just what they are. And we follow them just because we're normal.
Jesse, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Cana Bay in Massachusetts. Cana Bay, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Yes. Yeah. My question is, why doesn't Saint Peter called Pope Peter the First?
Why don't we call Saint Peter Pope?
Well,
Peter?
I mean, you could if you wanted to, but it's not the way we normally speak, because we normally talk about he's the very first one, so we call him Saint Peter, and everyone knows he's the first pope. But it's just a question of custom. There isn't any particular reason why we couldn't say that. We could, but we just normally don't talk that way.
How's that, Canopy? Does that help?
Yeah. And my second question is, why doesn't God sleep?
Why doesn't God sleep, Father?
Well, if you sleep, you need to sleep in order to refresh your body in order to work further in the coming day. But God doesn't grow tired, so he doesn't sleep. He's never tired, so he doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
That's about basically
okay.
It.
Will we have to sleep in heaven, Father?
No, we won't. We'll be on, like, alive the whole time.
Something to look forward to, Canabe. Father, I think we're going to get
one. Yeah, and we won't wear out.
I think we're going to get one more question in. Grace in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Grace, what's your question?
My question was, why did God create animals that can hurt us?
Yeah, especially scorpions and crocodiles.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And black widows out here, Father.
Yeah, well, and scorpions out here, too. We just had one in the Abbey the other day in the middle of the refectory. But Grace, what a wonder. We started the questions today with a girl named Grace, and now we've got another girl named Grace. It's a beautiful name. Each animal has its own place in the order that God created. And the problem with human beings is that given that we fell into sin, our knowledge and our insight into the animals and how they behave has been weakened. And so we behave towards them in a way that might allow them to hurt us. But if we had not fallen like Adam and Eve, we would be able to be so suave and communicative that they would never hurt us in any way whatsoever. But they have their own natures in any case. But it's just an effect of our fall.
Father, what a delightful hour. You want to give a quick blessing to all the children and adults listening?
Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat sub vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Coming up in our second hour, Patrick Coffin on 50 Years of Humanitate. Stay right there.